Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, the first 5 seconds of the show have gone wonderfully. City Limits just blew my right eardrum out. And on top of that, I thought we were going with low lights off the top, and he big-timed me in the hallway, Paul, and everybody saw it.
Who did?
Crowley saw it. This guy right here, City Limits.
Oh, here we go.
He walked right past me. It's the first time we saw each other this morning. Callis, Crowley, and salesperson Brent all witnessed me getting big timed.
What do they call that? The pillbox hat?
He does have a great hat on today. He looks great.
Could I defend myself real quick?
Sure.
When we interacted in the hallway, it was 30 seconds before the show was initially supposed to start.
That's true.
And Callis is notorious for giving us very little time sometimes before the start of the show, and sometimes I have to move some things around. And when I got in here, the show was supposed to start in 15 seconds. So if I spent the 15 seconds talking to you, the headline would have went up and there'd be no one in here to give it.
I will acknowledge that the show starts at 10 and that Paul and I, neither one of us were in this room at 10:02. But that should not preclude a quick, what's up, or good morning, or hey, Joe.
I thought I said hello.
No. There was nothing.
No, I apologize.
I felt used. Your hat is unbelievable today. It's a 79 pillbox pirate hat, if that's what they call it.
That is tremendous.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And it matches my shirt, which is the old
Stand
school
up
classic
so we can
pirate.
See, there you go.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that. I love that. That's pirate. Remember on the scoreboard, they used to have that guy
laughing. Yeah, I love that.
That real deep laugh.
And remember in 79, they actually won some games and some big games at that. Paul, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I've never been better. I appreciate the inquiry. Both you and I will be playing golf in an event at Old Stonewall tomorrow, which we're beyond excited for, which will bring Donnie Football into the fray. So this is our Friday, big boy. You ready to go?
I am ready to go. I tell you what's amazing, Joe, is that, I mean, everything has gone so bad so quickly for this team.
I know.
I mean, I was out for 2 days, so I didn't get to address this. I think it was 2 days ago. What has happened to Mitch Keller now? He can't pitch.
The same thing that happened last year.
I don't understand.
He's given up touchdowns
on.
And two-point conversions. I don't know, man.
I'm like, you know, everything that can go wrong. Basically, here's how I would summarize things. If you take Joey Bart and Brian Reynolds off of this team right now, I'm not sure what you're getting excited about. Maybe, I guess, Paul Skeens.
They.
But I'm just saying, like,
had.
How did they go from
Connor Joe hitting third yesterday.
That's an embarrassment. And he was 0 for 5 with, what, 3 strikeouts or something. I mean,
Connor Joe, since May 29th, is batting one. And that was a long time ago. May 29th is batting 168 with 7 extra base hits. That's your three-hole hitter. Keep Brian Hayes at 5. But let's get to the story, Paul, right away today, because it can no longer be avoided. I don't think it was. I think we talked about it 2 days ago, but it's obvious now. And it has to be talked about across baseball. Like, I haven't turned on MLB Network, but how long for Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton? As I wrote in this morning's Post Gazette, you can read that at postgazette.com along with a wonderful column that Paul wrote. Nobody in baseball, if the announcement was made today on the off day that Bob Nutting had relieved Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington of their duties, nobody in the baseball world would blink, because the cases against both are so obvious. They're so obvious, and we don't even need to get into it. I can just tell you, most of Cherington's moves have been bad. His farm system was ranked 27th the other day, despite all the hoarding of prospects, and Shelton has the 9th worst record of all time for any manager who has managed into their...
I thought it was worse than 9th.
Well, it's actually all time. It's 24th.
Oh, okay.
But of managers who have managed 5 seasons, it's 9th worst all time. And then if you only include this year and last year, he's a bunch of games below 500. So, Paul, it's just the undeniable story right now. How long for Cherington and Shelton? Deion wrote about this today. I think if I got the gist of his column right, he said it's now. What do you say? Basically now, end of season type thing, that enough is enough.
Can I give you an unpopular opinion?
Yeah.
People are going to be very disappointed, because I don't think there's going to be any changes made.
All that, but I'm asking if you would.
Yes. I have already said I would.
Today?
I think Cherington would be gone today. And I would let Shelton stay, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And allow the next general manager to make the decision. Because, again, I think if you look at what's happened, boy, they've been really bad. The worst thing they've done is acquire talent and develop said talent. And that's on the general manager.
Did you see those farm system rankings?
Oh.
How can you be 27th? And here's the thing, Paul.
Brutal.
Look around the division. If you don't like Baseball America, then go to MLB.com. We talked about this yesterday, and I pointed out to our dear friend City Limits that having 4 in the top 100 really doesn't mean a whole lot, especially when you look around the division.
Yeah.
So the Pirates don't have any prospect in the top 40, and they have 4 in the top 100, okay? And keep in mind, the context here is they spend less than any team in the division, and in all cases but the Reds, like tens of millions of dollars less. In at least one case, $100 million less. So the Cubs have 3 of the top 36 prospects and 6 overall compared to the Pirates, 4. The Reds have 2 of the top 35 and 4 overall. The Cardinals have the number 19 prospect and 3 overall. And the Brewers, who win the division now every year, despite playing in the same size market as Pittsburgh, have 4.
Yeah.
So not only are they getting outspent wildly, they also have no advantage and probably a disadvantage on the prospect front.
Well, here's my thing. For 5 years, you've built up this system. How can you be that far down in the rankings?
Yes.
That's what I don't understand. That's what somebody has to explain to me.
And could that explain why he is so reluctant to part with even one top prospect in a trade? It's because maybe he's failed to accumulate enough to feel comfortable getting rid of even one.
Yeah, but if you're 27th or whatever you are, you know what I mean? And again, I don't get that caught up in rankings, but let's say, you know, they're being overly pessimistic and they're actually 22nd. That's still not good.
No, I don't get too caught up in those either. But you would like for the Pirates, after 5 years of hoarding prospects, to be widely acknowledged as having one of the most talented farm systems in baseball, and they're not.
Right, and you've been building it for 5 years. That's the worst part. 5 years you've been building this thing.
So basically, you're saying fire Charrington today and let the next guy decide on Shelton, which means the end of Shelton. What do you say, Limits? He's on the telephone. 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we have John Parrotto later in the show, Jeff Hathorn later in the show. Lots of things happening here, but the Pirates are now on sort of almost a historic slide. The season has blown up. And here we sit. So what say you, City Limits? Paul says get rid of Charrington today and let the next guy decide on Shelton, presumably after the season. What about you?
You know, typically the manager is the first fall guy if it's not like a positional coach. I would move on from the manager first and then allow, kind of like what Paul was saying, the general manager, whoever the next guy is, to make the decision at the end of
the
season.
You'd fire Charrington today?
I would not fire Charrington today, but at the end of the season, if this slide continues, I would.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to render my opinion in a moment, but Paul, I want to play for you the end of the Derek Shelton show the other day when I asked him about job security and about whether there had been an ultimatum passed before the season. Let's take a listen to that. Shelty, this question I ask respectfully. We've talked about this before, but things are going so poorly now that people wonder, and I wonder, if you feel like you're managing for your job the rest of this season.
No, in terms of managing for my job, no, I don't feel that, you know, any more so today than I did earlier in the year. I think anybody that's in this position always feels that. So, no, I'm focused on winning games and making sure that we continue to play good baseball.
Did you get any sort of ultimatum before the year from Bob Dunning that this had to be a winning season?
Yeah, you know I'm not going to answer that question. You know we don't talk about what we talk about in-house.
Okay. Well, Shelty, good luck tonight. I mean, that ended it.
Yeah, that's
and I do approach those topics very respectfully.
Yeah.
It's someone's job we're talking about.
Absolutely.
But we're all accountable to the results. Well, we're all accountable. You and I to ratings, him to wins.
Yeah, that's just it. And I think the most important thing is if you are somebody that's in a position, right, where you have to produce something, guess what? You're going to be under pressure or whatever to perform. So, yeah.
Well, now take a listen to this, because among the reasons that Shelton is under fire, of course, it goes beyond the record, right? The record's number one, but how they got there, it's management of bullpen lately. It's, for me at least, one of the things that stands out is how Shelton constantly touts how hard his team plays, which to me is bothersome in the first place, because it's like, if that's all you got, that's the least anybody should expect.
Even last night, he was talking about how, well, you know, we scrapped till the end.
You know?
You were down 8-0.
It's the least.
The Padres were lost interest in that game in about the fourth inning.
Right. So, A, it's the least to be expected. And B, by all available evidence, it's not true. I've seen guys jogging to, for we all have, over the past week or so, if not longer than that. We've seen guys jogging out of the box and turning doubles into singles on multiple occasions. Listen to John Wehner, Paul, from the Fan Morning Show the other day. This was when the losing streak was only at 8.
I don't think there's any excuses for not running hard or playing hard. There's no excuses for not catching a ball that's thrown right at you. So whether there's pressure or no pressure, you know, it's baseball, and it's baseball at the highest level. And there are no excuses for not running hard, whether you're winning 20 in a row or losing 20 in a row, whether there's pressure on you or there's no pressure on you. There's no excuses for that. I'm sorry. And we've seen a ball off the wall last week, the center field wall, where we don't get a double out of it. I'm sorry, but that's, you know, when you talk about the one run away, they've lost, I guess, seven of the last 11 games they've won. They've lost by one run. To make up that one run, you got to play hard. You got to make opportunities. You don't give up on opportunities. Instead of being on second, you're on first. Instead of being on second, you're out. And so when you keep losing one run games and you run into outs or you don't take advantage of opportunities, you're going to lose one run games. You know, if you can't make a play defensively, you're going to lose one-run games. That's just the matter of the fact. Pressure, I mean, yeah, there's pressure on players. I mean, there's pressure on players to stay in the big leagues. There's pressure on players to get another contract, okay? And how they deal with that pressure is, you know, whether they stay in the big leagues or get another contract. And so as far as pressure on Derek Shelton, I mean, he doesn't show it. He comes in and he's the same every day. You know, can he be held accountable? Yeah, and so can the coaches, and so could the front office, and so can the players. Everybody's going to be held accountable for this.
Are they? That's my question. But he also said the thing, I don't know if we heard it there or not, the thing I look at and get more frustrated with than anything is the effort there consistently, Wehner said. Is it there 100% of the time? At times, it's not.
Right.
So I think of all the things that bother me about Shelton, because a lot of the bullpen moves are 50-50.
Right. And you can argue that with just about every manager. I mean, Tony La Russa,
yes.
You could watch his bullpen moves, and I'm sure there were some that you would just say, what is he doing? But I agree with you.
I think it's the lack of accountability for not playing hard that bothers me the most. Having said all that, I do have an unpopular opinion on this, Paul. And I've thought a lot about this. I thought a lot about it last night and this morning before I got ready for the show and when I put together my piece for the Post-Gazette, because it's a big deal if you put out there into the world that somebody should get fired right now. And like I said, if Bob Nutting did that today, I would have no reason to rip him. I couldn't quibble with it. Having said that, I went back to 2011 and 12 and what that led to, which was 2013. And I went back and looked at something I wrote after the 12 season. After totally rebuilding the franchise with Huntington, Hurdle was brought in. And in his first 2 years, his team collapsed unbelievably.
Right.
He won 38 of 130 games in August and September. His teams collapsed completely. And I wrote after that season, almost what I'm saying now is I couldn't blame Nutting for firing Huntington and Hurdle, but my take would be put him on a hot seat going into 2013. And we all know what happened in 2013. Things suddenly changed.
Yeah.
I would be willing to give these two guys that chance going into next season.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I would.
That was year one and two, though.
For Hurdle.
For Hurdle.
Yeah, it was year six for Huntington.
Right.
It was his, right. I think it was even his 17th.
And here's what's kind of interesting. Wasn't it going into 13 that they got Russell Martin and A.J. Burnett?
Yes.
Which would mean if I'm Charrington or if I'm Nutting, whatever, you're basically saying, listen, this team as constituted is not good enough.
Right.
I don't want to hear about the farm system. Don't want to hear about this prospect and that prospect. I want you to go out and find major league players that will upgrade this team.
And Liriano, I might add.
And Liriano.
Now, he got lucky, Paul. Right, with Liriano. Nobody was with all three, really. All three were on the downturn. But I think, he went out and made, they turned out to be incredible moves.
I think Burnett, the feeling was Burnett was probably done in New York. Like New York City, he was done with it.
Yeah.
Coming here kind of breathed fresh air into him. Liriano was had a bunch of injuries and stuff, and everybody's like, well, he's good, but can he actually stay healthy for more than a month? And of course he did, and was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yes.
And then to their credit, they got exactly what they thought they were getting in Russell Martin.
Yeah. So, and more from the plate.
Right, absolutely. But my point is they wanted to bring him in because of his ability to really handle pitching staffs and to be a really good defensive catcher. And,
yes.
And they liked his clubhouse presence.
For sure. And they also had guys who seemed to be on the verge, and Walker, McCutchen was already there, Alvarez, etc. You could argue that it's a different situation. But here's why I'm giving them the beginning of next season on blazing hot seats, is because I think that Charrington deserves that time to see if some of his babies finally grow up. And I'm talking about Davis, talking about Andy Rodriguez. I'm talking about Nick Gonzalez, who's done some growing up. I think he should get that. I do.
Okay.
To see if that happens. And I think Shelton should get that to see if that happens. And plus the last factor in this is there's tons of blame to go around. It begins and ends at the top. I get it with Bob Nutting. But the players who were reasonably counted on this season to provide winning baseball, instead gave them losing baseball. And I mean Key Brian Hayes. Some people had him as a low-key MVP candidate. Jack Sawinski, for his ups and downs, he had 26 homers. You thought he was on the upswing. David Bednar, Colin Holderman. Those guys have failed. When they were reasonably expected on to be good players, they've been miserable. So all of that, Paul, leads me to my conclusion that I couldn't rip him if he did it now. But I'm willing to give them the beginning of next season. That's my conclusion.
I think this. If they get to the offseason, But here's the thing, Joe. I actually would agree with you. And now that I think about it, I would agree with you. I don't know about Charrington, though.
Man, neither do I. I mean, if your argument is they should both go today, I have the worst argument. I admit that. I have the worst argument.
My argument is that Charrington probably, if this thing goes really far south, by the same token, you know what? They would have to, like Bob Nutting would have to basically tell Charrington, listen, you have to make this team better next year. I don't want to hear about, we're in good position in 2028 or 29. I don't want to hear about that. If you have to trade some of our prospects, I don't care what it is. I'll give you a little bit of money for a payroll or whatever, but next year has to be better, period. I could look at 11 and 12 and say, you know what, maybe this team is on the precipice of something. But again, I can't stress enough that in 11 and 12, they had a really good young MVP candidate in Andrew McCutchen, which I don't know that they have that guy here. You know what I'm saying? They added three really important players, which are they going to go add those guys? I don't know. They had, they had Starling Marte. Do they even have a guy like that? I mean, is Cruz equivalent of Starling Marte? Certainly not on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, there were some pieces in place, plus they added to some pieces where I'm like, I don't know if those pieces exist right now.
Yeah. I mean, that just has to happen. But again, if Nutting woke up today and said, that's it, it would be really hard to argue against. I get it at 412-928-9370, 928-9370. I just really tried to put myself back in the spot I was in October of 2012 doing this show, maybe with Mulsey then, and writing, and it was the exact same feeling. I don't know if people remember the depth to which they collapsed both seasons. They were pretty good up until August, and then it was historic the way they lost, kind of like this is. Again, Clint Hurdle in 11-12, his winning percentage in August and September combined in those two seasons was .330. Wow. He won 38 of 130 games. And it was like, and by the way, Hurdle at that point had managed 9 full seasons in Major League Baseball, and 8 of them were losing seasons. The other, he went to the World Series. 8 of 9 losing seasons. So the feeling was like, we're not never going to get there. We're never going to get there with Hurdle and Huntington's in year 6 going into year 7. This is a disaster. And Paul's right. He went out and it was a combination of skill and luck. I mean, he got A.J. Burnett for nothing because A.J. Burnett was on a downturn. Liriano, nobody wanted. He got him for a ridiculous price. And then the price went down when Liriano broke his arm in some weird story where he was playfully trying to scare his kids on Christmas. You remember that? He broke his arm. And then they went out and got Russell Martin on the cheap.
Yeah.
Knowing that he was coming here to build back up his resume so he could go back on the open market, which he did. He struck gold with all three. Charrington decidedly did not. Although he did bring in Joey Bart, but in the likes of Rowdy and, you know, Michael A. Taylor and Grandal, it's a disaster what happened. He gets one more chance. And that might be pushing it, and I admit that. But for me, he gets one more chance. And so does Shelty, admitting all his shortcomings. The one that frustrates me the most is his touting of how hard his team plays when it's not true. Certainly not lately. Well, and that's not media guys talking or fans.
Well,
you have somebody like John Wehner, broadcaster, go on the air and say that. Paul, that's telling to me.
Listen, I know there were some people that objected to the fact that I said, after watching six games with the Diamondbacks and the Pirates, the one thing that struck me is that the Diamondbacks are not only better baseball, not only better hitters than the Pirates, they play the game better than the Pirates do.
Yeah.
They move runners up. They tag up. They run, you know what I mean? They take extra bases. They manufacture bases. You know what I mean? They hit behind their runners. They use their weak hitters to bunt. I mean, they are so much better at playing the actual game of baseball than the Pirates. Forget about the talent level. They play the game better. And I think that's the thing that's most frustrating about the Pirates is that if you're undermanned, if you're undermanned because of payroll or whatever, you got young guys or what, you know, you don't have as much talent. I get it. But if you don't maximize what you do, you have no chance. None. Because the bottom line is these last 9 games or whatever it's been against the Padres and the Dodgers and then the Diamondbacks before that, that's 3 teams that are clearly, clearly better than the Pirates. Top to bottom, and all 3 of them play the game better than the Pirates do.
And doesn't that inability to be able to play small ball correctly, move over runners, fall on the coaching staff?
I do agree with that. And Andy Haynes has to go. But mm-hmm. but also, well, I can't help but say they win most of these games if Holderman and Bednar do their job.
Very true. I mean, the players deserve a lot of blame.
That's just for whatever else is happening and not happening. And we saw the Padres make a lot of crap plays in this series, by the way.
What is usually the Padres, through, you know, they're sloppy in the field, but they can overcome it because they're so good.
Right.
You know what I mean? They can hit the hell out of the ball. So they can overcome giving teams four or five outs in an inning and, you know, the catcher can't catch and all the other crazy stuff. But I was just going to say this. The first step, if you're going to bring back Shelton and Charrington, you know, unfortunately, you got to say, listen, we're cleaning house. Your pitching coach, your instructors, your hitting coach, we're cleaning house. Go find new guys.
The pitching coach, Paul, is one I disagree with. I actually think he's done a good job. But it seems like the hitters, whenever somebody gets better, it seems like it's not the Pirates who are doing it, or at least not Andy Haynes. You know what I mean?
Like, what happened to Jack Suwinski? What happened to Henry Davis?
Key Brian Hayes. He went lower in the organization for help. You know, some of the pitchers have failed. Holderman would be an example later this season. But I think by and large, between how the prospects are doing coming through the system and then guys like Skeens, Jones, Falter, I've seen some progress with young guys that way.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, our Pirates reaction and also Steeler camp reaction brought to you by Bet365. JP Roofing and Siding gives us the rundown of what's happening on today's show. As I mentioned, John Parrotto, Jeff Hathorn, a lot of Pirate talk. We'll get into Steeler talk here at the end of training camp. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's take the calls are lighting up like Malzi at a craft beer house, are they not? Let's take one to lead us off here. You're our leadoff guy.
Here is Joe in Monroeville to get us going.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, you guys. I hope you can hear me. I'm walking out on a busy street right now.
Hopefully not to end it all after this 10-game losing streak, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Hey, listen. I've called in before about this very subject. And as long as Nutting owns this team, they're not going to do anything. They caught fire, like you said, in 12 and 13. But as far as Charrington goes, I as far as firing him, I mean, it's the 12th worst minor league system, then yeah, he's got to go.
27th worst, according to Baseball America, but go ahead.
But and as far as Shelton goes, I remember a game earlier. I forget what team it was. It was later in the game. The opposing pitcher had just walked in, I think the tying run, and for the Pirates, of course. And O'Neill Cruz came up to bat, who was batting very poorly at the time. And I think the count was 3-0 or 3-1. And the bases are loaded, and Shelton allowed him to swing, and he hit into a double play, I believe.
Yeah, and I know we appreciate the call. All these things are magnified.
Yeah,
when they're losing to the level that they're losing.
That's the thing about that is because they're losing, we're going to pick apart little things. I don't think my thing is how are you playing, and I don't care what anybody says, Joe. I've watched at least three times in the last week where I thought the Pirates' body language was horrible. I thought that they were horrible.
And so does Wehner.
And I
obviously
thought that they, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you can kind of tell that, you know, if a team's deflated a little bit or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, you know, It does begin with Bob Nutting.
Right.
Here's the thing I've been saying about Nutting lately, after 25 years of ripping him, is we all agree. 99.9% of our callers, every media member, every host on The Fan, all agrees that that the owner needs to spend more and that it's been pretty much mostly a disaster, with the exception of three, maybe four seasons. We all agree on that. So then the next question is, how do you win with this owner on a low payroll? And I used to rail against the unfairness in Major League Baseball, and it is a joke. It's laughable that one team could be spending $62 million like the A's and another $316 million like the Mets and close to that the Yankees.
Right.
But I also look, and in the bottom 12 payrolls, first of all, Tampa Bay has won almost every year with the similar payroll to the Pirates. So they're doing it. Why not the Pirates?
Right.
Then I look at the bottom 12 payrolls. I see Minnesota, 12th lowest, 67-53. Kansas City, lower than them, winning record playoff team, pretty much. Milwaukee, with the 10th lowest payroll in all of baseball, division leader. Baltimore, with the 9th lowest payroll in all of baseball, might be the best team in baseball. And if they're not, then the team with the 8th lowest payroll, Cleveland, is. So don't feed me this crap anymore about how you just can't win with low payrolls. It's disproven every single year.
And Joe, it should be pointed out that Cleveland and Baltimore are both teams that essentially stripped it down and rebuilt.
Yes.
Now,
man, I hope Charrington.
Obviously, they scouted, drafted, developed, traded much better than the Pirates have.
That's the problem right now. And that's on Mr. Ben Charrington. And the Orioles, by the way, have started winning and winning big. They've made major trades involving prospects, and they're still sitting here with more higher rated prospects than the Pirates. More of them. It's unreal. So yeah, there's tons of blame to go around, and the Pirates really do need to get up to $100 million.
Right.
Because the teams I did mention, to be fair and to put it in its right context, like Cleveland, Baltimore, Milwaukee, are above $100 million.
Right.
You got to get there, Bob. Come on. You got to get there. We all agree on that. But in the meantime,
I look at Baltimore. Okay. How is it they end up with all the young prospects and young guys they have in their lineup?
Yeah.
They did the same thing. They stripped it down. They just drafted guys better.
They've
developed guys better.
Yes, both of those. Like, and that's like, on Charrington.
Does Charrington have under his belt anyone close to Gunnar Henderson?
No. That was supposed to be Henry Davis. But again, right. I would say let's... In fairness, I want to see Andy Rodriguez. He got hurt. He was one of the hottest prospects in all of baseball. I want to see him. I want to see Henry Davis one more time.
Right.
I want to see Nick Gonzalez, if he can build on what he did this year, which was pretty good, especially in the clutch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.